I beat my head against the wall for a really long time on this kind of stuff and then finally figure out a process that works. And that's how I wrote 6 books myself. But it came from that desperation of pulling another all-nighter to trying to get this paper done for college. And, you know, you probably had the experience like I did, which is all your friends can write that paper in an hour and turn it in and get an A. And then me, I was up all night in the library and turn it in and get a C or D. And then kind of, okay, if that's the context, how do we reverse engineer this so that we can write a quality book that actually sells?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. Okay, quick gut check. How many of you have a book inside of you? Something you have always wanted to write. You imagine seeing it on the shelf. You look at other people's books and think, oh my gosh, the one inside me is so much better. But life gets in the way. Well, frankly, we are living in unprecedented times. Myself, like many of you, are probably engaged in social distancing. We are spending way more time at home than we ever thought we were going to. My guest today, Chandler Bolt, is the founder of the Self-Publishing School, and his claim to fame is that he can help you write your book in a weekend. Well, the truth is, what they usually say is 90 days, but he has a very simple methodology to help you create the outline and the writing, the publishing side of the book, and then how to leverage that asset to further your business and credibility in your field. Chandler is engaging, interesting, and a super smart business person. He spoke on our stage at Impact Lives this past fall, and I am so excited to have the opportunity to introduce you to him today, because frankly, there's nothing better to do when we are all locked down. Truly my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Chandler Bolt. Chandler Bolt, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have you join me. I'm going to say again, because you were a part of our Impact Lives event this past fall and such a popular contributor to that event, really talking about how our audience can write a book in a weekend. And this is such an interesting digression off of some of the things we've been talking about on the podcast lately. Chandler, can you give everybody a bit of a background on who you are and why it is that we're going to be talking about that today?
Yeah, so my name is Chandler Bolt. I'm originally from Walhalla, South Carolina, a small town in the middle of nowhere, C-level English student, and someone who never thought that I'd be writing books. But then we kind of stumbled our way into using books to grow businesses. And so we've grown my company, Self-Publishing School, from zero to a little over $16 million in the last 5 years. And a lot of that is through books. So using books to drive lead sales and referrals. So something that I've gotten super passionate about is using books for what we call leveraged impact. So the ability to do work once and then impact a huge amount of people. But then also specific to your crowd, like I've had a lot of fun speaking, and I never expected this, is speaking to a whole lot of medical professionals and how can they leverage their expertise? How can they charge more? How can they grow their business? Like all those things through a book. So that's been really fun. And I'm almost always the least educated in the room. But it's been a lot of fun because I know a lot about books. And I know a lot about business. So that's what we talk about. And it seems to be working so far.
Okay, so I want to break down for people how it is that they go about doing this, because here's what I hear from so many of the entrepreneurs that I work with is it's this dialogue of, I'm going to write a book when? And they have this sort of mysterious criteria of when the universe is going to tap them on the shoulder and tell them now is the time for you to write your book. And I think that really came from this limiting belief of a long time ago of they're going to somehow be discovered and some publisher is going to ask them to write a book. And that's when this whole cascade is going to unfold. And I think the landscape has shifted entirely. Can you just comment on on the publishing industry in general, and how that idea of the shoulder tap and the discovery idea is really kind of obsolete nowadays.
Absolutely. So, you hit the nail on the head. There used to be kind of, you need an agent, you need a publisher. Self-publishing is the redheaded stepchild. It's the thing that you only do if you can't get a publishing deal. And it's like, oh, you're self-published. Got it. But now there's really been this shift to where self-publishing has become the preferred option for most authors, because you keep your creative control. You keep the lion's share of the royalties versus earning pennies on the dollar for the books that you're selling. And not only that, but it's a faster, more effective way to publish a book, to sell more books, and to keep the money from your books. And so I think you've just seen this massive shift, especially in the health space, because that is really, it's like, oh, if I'm self-published, I'm not going to have credibility. But when people are, over 70% of all books sold are sold on Amazon. So when people are buying on Amazon, they have no idea whether it's self-published or whether it's traditionally published. So you just need to produce a high quality book that solves the problem that people have when they're searching for a book on that topic. And so, we always talk about how your self-published book shouldn't look self-published. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether it's self-published or traditionally published. Can you help the reader solve the problem that they're trying to solve when they search for that topic?
Right, because I'm actually equally unlikely to read a book that isn't useful to me or 100%. Highly entertaining, and I couldn't care less who published it.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to break this down into two sides, because I think there's really two components about what you're discussing. There's the publishing side. How do we go about writing the book? What are some of the things we need to think about? And then there's the other side, where it's how do we leverage that asset that we've created in terms of starting to accelerate our impact through our business. So on the publishing side, I know you talk about this all the time, write a book in a weekend. We are really in this unprecedented time in the world where a lot of us are frankly in social distancing and in lockdown. And I think there's an interesting time for people to do some of the work they've been putting off for a period of time. So give us some insight in terms of how we can use this time to get our book out into the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an incredible opportunity, right? Like you can, as a buddy of mine would say, create or complain. and so we can spend this time that we have to create something, or to, post on social media, watch Netflix, all those things. And if you actually go back and look, and this is what's kind of pretty wild. Like even my team just today was talking to me about some of these stats of like Stephen King writing one of his most successful books of all time in quarantine. Isaac, I don't want to misquote here, but I'm pretty sure once somebody on the team was telling me about Isaac Newton discovering the theory of relativity in quarantine. Like there's all these examples of people using a time like this to create something. And so practically what that looks like is we always talk about three-step process: mind map, outline, write. This is what we call like the 24-hour book outline challenge. So we're all about going from idea or rough idea, or some cases even no idea, to book outline done in 24 hours. And so how you do that is, step one, you mind map everything that you can think of on that topic. Step two, you turn that mind map into a functioning outline. We have a really cool tool that we can link up called the Book Outline Template Generator. You literally press a couple buttons and you'll get a 42-page outline. That's a Google Doc that you literally just type into. But that's how you kind of transition from mind map to outline, and then from outline to write, which is kind of that in itself is like a little micro process. So you take 10 minutes mind mapping everything you can think of on the first chapter, then 10 minutes turning that mind map into an outline, and then 45 minutes to an hour and a half writing the chapter. And then you just repeat that process chapter by chapter by chapter. Or on the flip side, you can speak the chapter. So a lot of people speak better than they write. Well, then you take 10 minutes mind mapping the chapter, 10 minutes turning that mind map into an outline, and then 10 minutes speaking the chapter. And then you repeat that process chapter by chapter, and you get that transcribed, and then you have a moldable doc to work with. But either way you go, it comes down to those three fundamental steps, which is create the mind map, turn the mind map into an outline, and then from that outline you write one chapter at a time. And That's how we eat an elephant one bite at a time. And that's what really shrinks it down to what you're saying, which is as little as a weekend, whether you're writing or speaking.
Where were you when I was in high school spending weeks to write these 4,000 word essays?
I was struggling on the same things. So this, we always say this is the C-level college student or C-level college dropouts approach.
Well, it's
so
about efficiency.
I beat my head against the wall for a really long time on this kind of stuff and then finally figure out a process that works. And that's how I wrote 6 books myself. But it came from that desperation of pulling another all-nighter to trying to get this paper done for college. And, you know, you probably had the experience like I did, which is all your friends can write that paper in an hour and turn it in and get an A. And then me, I was up all night in the library and turn it in and get a C or D. And then kind of, okay, if that's the context, how do we reverse engineer this so that we can write a quality book that actually sells?
Well, you know, and I have this different challenge where I actually really love to write, but I am slow and methodical about how I do it. And I think I shared with you at the event, I actually finished my book 2 years ago and it's actually totally edited. And then I just needed to add a few things and they were never quite what I wanted it to be. And so it's literally sitting in a Word document on my desktop. It's one of the few things on my desktop.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And I'm not the perfectionist. It's not even about being perfect. It was just, it's just my process is slow. Clearly. So for people, well, there's people like me, which is maybe a whole different category. But, you know, what about those people? They finished, they've mind mapped it. They did their like 10 minutes speaking it or they wrote it. But they're like, I'm actually not a good writer. Like, this is great. This is a great idea. But my caliber of writing is not something I would necessarily want to read. What do you do with those individuals?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say there's two sides to it. There's number one is can you organize your thoughts, which I think that's where a lot of people, they don't do the proper organization up front. Therefore, what they write is not good because it's an incoherent thought. And so that's where I really think do the mind map, do the outline. And most people don't do that. They just start writing. So as a result, you know, 30 minutes, an hour and a half later, they read what they've written and they're like, this sucks. And not only that, but it doesn't even make sense. You know, especially if you've ever tried to speak a chapter of your book or speak the book or whatever, you know, you speak for 30 minutes and then you're like, oh my gosh, this is not good. For me at least, and for a lot of our students, like, doing the mind map and doing the outline first makes your writing better. But then from there, I would say hire a really good editor. And that's been the big difference for me is I invest in good editing and good editors because they make my writing significantly better. And they can point out kind of the blind spots in the writing that makes it a whole lot better.
Yeah. And especially for individuals with businesses, I would imagine that the key piece about your book and leveraging it in your business is your IP and your ideas and your novel approach, not necessarily your mastery of the English language. And so, you know, I think for a long time we had this idea that if you didn't write every last word in the book, you were not the author of the book.
100%.
But I think in the context of business IP and nonfiction writing, what we're really trying to convey are these ideas, not necessarily the linguistics that are behind it.
100%. And the ideas need to be unique and original and structured in a way that delivers. Because remember, your reader just cares about we call it the 4 P's. And a lot of times this is in a business context of creating an offer that someone will buy, but it's also in the context of creating a book that people will rave about and refer, right? But it's the 4 P's. So there's a person, pain, promise, and a price. So who's the person that is the ideal reader in this case, or, you know, if we're talking about this in a business context, it's the ideal customer. What's the pain that they have that they're willing to pay to solve? And then what's the promise that you're making them that's a compelling promise that solves that pain? And then what's the price that you're charging for that? Which with a book, that's pretty straightforward, you know, depending on Kindle, print, audiobook, that sort of thing, you got a range. But especially from a business perspective, like those are the 4 P's that we walk people through. But that applies here because if you're talking about, you know, delivering the IP. Well, it's really just delivering the IP through that lens. And if you deliver it through that lens, then you're just fulfilling a promise to the reader. And they care about their promise being fulfilled less so that it's, you know, crazy professionally written. Now, not that that's an excuse. I mean, I think some people use that as an excuse for a poorly written book, and that's not the case. But through that lens, I think you're able to structure it in a much better way. And that combined with a good editor and will make for a really great book.
Okay, so let's say it's written and it's been well edited, and I know lots of editors and you know lots of editors. So suffice it to say for all those people out there who are like, I don't know an editor. We'll hook you up. But let's say we get to this point, your book is fully edited and you've taken people through that process. How do you actually practically publish it? Is this something that happens through Amazon? Like what do you suggest on that level?
Yeah, there's a lot of different mechanisms, but traditionally we're publishing through Amazon, and that's, I mean, you know, 70% of all books sold are sold on Amazon. So that's the predominant mechanism with which we're selling. And I would, one of my biggest pieces of advice would be to publish in all formats. So Kindle, print, and audio. And that's super important because you'll catch different demographics.
Yeah. And I actually remember last year I was at a mastermind meeting and one of the people were talking about the audio piece, and they said it's been one of the most successful lead magnets that they've had
Their
business is leveraging that audio piece. And I thought that was such a great tip, because clearly this isn't my area of expertise because it's still on my desktop. I'm saying this because I know you're going to help me out of this.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was about to say, you know, I'm going to hold you accountable.
Yeah, I know.
That thing published.
I know.
But yeah, I could not agree more. So we call it the silent salesman. It's the thing that, you know, if someone spends, like, for example, your unpublished book currently that will soon to be published, mm-hmm. like people download and listen to that audiobook. Well, first off, people on this podcast, I would guess, are highly likely to buy that audiobook. So,
wink.
You've got a mechanism that's already, and this is for anyone else that has a podcast. It's like you have go to the mechanism that they're already consuming, right? And so you've got a base of people that love listening to podcasts. They probably have a commute. They probably have, you know, they're working out, or there's dead time that they're using to listen to podcasts, your podcast being one of them. They can plug and play your audiobook in that dead time. And so now all of a sudden they're spending hours and hours and hours with you. Just like I would imagine if someone comes from your podcast, they're significantly more likely to buy a ticket to the live event, to enroll in other programs, like all those things is because you've built a relationship. And so if someone listens to your audiobook, for example, and it's narrated by you, well, then now all of a sudden they've spent 4, 5, 6, 8 hours with you in the course of that book. And this happens a lot of times for me with my book published, is they'll listen to that audiobook, or, you know, like at the event, we give out a bunch of copies of the book. And so they read it or listen to it. And then on the plane ride home, and then they end up booking a call with my team and signing up for self-publishing school because we've given them the 10,000 foot view, and now they want help like with a click by click and actually implementing it. So using it as an ascension tool, I think, is super smart. But then also knowing that, you know, there's some people that might never read my print book, never read my Kindle book, but they would listen to the audiobook. So how do I make sure that I'm publishing in all formats so I can meet them where they're at in a type of content that they'll consume? And then I can focus on the ascension piece, which is what we'll probably talk about a little bit later, but talk about moving them from subscriber or in this case reader to subscriber or to buyer.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that ascension piece, but what I really want to know first is with the clients that you've worked with in the past, can you give us some examples of how writing this book actually changed the trajectory of their business?
Oh man, yeah, it's been huge, and like this is all stuff that I practice as well. So like this is at the core of my business growth. We bake this into all of my speaking. We bake this into our free plus shipping funnels. And so this one of the most profitable funnels that we have is giving away the book, just pay shipping and handling. But from a healthcare practitioner perspective, like, one of the guys that we work with, Chad Madden, he's a physical therapist. His big thing was, he said, hey, you know, there's people driving by me every day to go to someone across town. And in his case, like I said, he's a physical therapist. So he said, you know, he started having, there was one family that drove 10 hours one way for treatment, which is just mind blowing to me, but they had read his book. And so that helped him. I think he went from about 1.6 to 3.1 over the course of a year, but using books as the fundamental for that. So really using, we always talk about the big three, like leads, sales, and referrals. So how do we use the book to get more leads? How do we use the book to get more sales? So converting more of the people who already know about you or are already coming in for free screens, evals, like, you know, sales calls, whatever that sales mechanism looks like. And then how do we use the books for existing customers so that we turn one customer into one more by giving them the book for them and for a friend and like things like that. So that's what I like to do is embed it in. But for our customers, like we try to get them to focus on those three things. But then there's also the other doors that open up, like speaking gigs, PR, getting on TV. Like I know another one of our medical folks, she was just on, I think it was the Fox affiliate in LA. She came to one of our business events and she had that booked during that because of her book. And so like leveraging the book to get publicity, PR, speaking gigs in some case where people care about that. But then really the big three, like I was saying, lead, sales, and referrals.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, I really love that. And so share with us a little bit more about the Ascension model that you were referring to, because I think depending on people's industry and you know, to be fair, we've got healthcare practitioners here, but we've got entrepreneurs from all industries who love to hang out over here. What are some of these Ascension models that you are seeing and where people are having the greatest success in terms of leveraging this this credibility asset? Because I think that's what it is. It's like a really quick checkbox in people's mind when they confront an expert is knowing they have a book. They're like, oh yeah, you're published.
Yeah, so I think there's two sides. There's how do you take the people who are reading or listening to the book and ascend them into being a paying customer? And then there's how do you use the book to open doors? Like first, I mean, the low-hanging fruit is on the how do you ascend people from the book? So there's a couple of things that we're doing and that we're seeing that works really well. Number one is we give away some sort of audio or video for free in the beginning of the book. So if you go and check out any of my books right now on Amazon, you'll see that you can click the look inside feature and you can preview the first little bit and you'll actually see that I give away the audio book for free right in the beginning of the book. That converts like crazy. And people don't even have to buy the book to see that and to download it. So we're just funneling thousands and thousands and thousands of leads off of Amazon. And those are free leads, essentially. And so we always talk about how Google is a search engine of browsers. Amazon is a search engine of buyers. So people go to Amazon for one reason and one reason only, and that's to buy stuff. But that real estate is way easier to rank for. So vertical SEO, I can rank for all these different terms on Amazon, and these are people with their credit card on file. So then I just send them to my book. From the book, I'm ascending them to basically go from a browser or reader to subscriber. So that's the video and audio on the front end. That works really, really well. And then when you get into the actual book, it's having 4 to 7 CTAs or calls to action throughout the book. So like in my book, Published, you know, it's like I talk about mind mapping and then we say, here's a mind map template, download it here. Or outlining, here's the book outline template generator, download that here. So you're sending them out to different resources throughout the book. And then the most logical step is towards the end or somewhere throughout the book is like, hey, if you enjoyed this book, click here to book a call with my team and talk about how we can help you get your book done. So that's like the hottest prospects that read through the book and go click through to actually schedule a call with the team and ultimately end up signing up for self-publishing school. So like that's the ascension mechanism within the book. And then there's the other piece, like the, you know, using the book to drive sales, like the free plus shipping funnel is one of the, like continues to be one of the highest converting funnels that we have. I mean, I was just on a marketing meeting a couple hours ago and we're talking about how do we get more people to purchase the book? Cause those are the hottest prospects that we have. And so via the free plus shipping funnel, and then using the book to leverage around all the other things that we do, or to open doors for PR, open doors for speaking gigs, giving them away at speaking gigs. It's basically low cost business cards. So that's been, always been our stance is I'll go speak an event with a few hundred people there. We'll bring a couple hundred books and give them away. And you know, that's a three, those are $3 a piece. So to the event organizer, I just gave away thousands and thousands of dollars worth of books. So like that's a value add to the event organizer, to the attendees, to all those things. But then people, you know, they have that book and on the way home, they're reading it. And then they're understanding our whole methodology. And a lot of cases ending up booking a call with the team, all those things. So that's how I personally integrate it with the speaking side of things, which really helps increase the revenue from that channel.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I mean, you were so gracious in providing our audience with copies of your book at our event. So I saw that in action. With respect to the free plus shipping, I've heard mixed things. Some people are like, it's amazing. And other people are like, eh, it used to work for us and it doesn't work anymore. And I'm really curious if we break that down because I think I love breaking down these kinds of tactics and understanding the strategy. Is that because your buyers are so eager to buy from you and it's the first available way to do it that they are buying in? Or is there like a secret sauce that you have seen that makes this a successful model?
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on the sales mechanism. And also like I look at it as, can I get what some people would call a self-liquidating offer? And so can I, you know, if it costs me $25 to get a free book purchaser, and there, you know, there's $7.95 shipping and handling, and then we can get an order form bump or something like that. So like if I can get close to break even just on the front end, or even let's call it 50% ROAS, return on ad spend, on the front end customer, then I'm just basically paying for or break even on very, very, very highly qualified leads. Because now instead of having a bunch of subscribers, I have a bunch of buyers on my list. And so anything after that is profitable. But then I think also the mechanism. So we're on the thank you page going direct to a book a call. And then it depends on how much you can afford to pay to acquire a customer. So it's like self-publishing school is a few thousand dollars. So, you know, we can pay up to $1,000 to acquire a customer. So that really gives us a lot of leeway to get the, you know, book purchase to call booked percentage and then the close rate on those calls. So that's where, you know, and it's a simple hook and tie in. And this is something anybody can use is on the thank you page. It's, hey, thanks for claiming your free copy of the book. We're going to ship this out ASAP. It'll get to you within a couple weeks. While you're waiting, here's a couple resources below. And then kind of the hook is, hey, the book is going to give you the whole process. What the book can't do for you is like, here are your goals and give you a specific plan of action. That's what we're here for. Scroll below this video, book a call right now, and we'll talk about your goals for your book, your challenges with your book, and the next steps. So how do you get this done? And so that's how we, you know, you take the thing that they already care about. So it has to be tied in with the messaging of the book. So published is called the proven path from blank page to published author. So it's all about getting your book published. So naturally, when we have a call there that says, hey, let's chat for 45 minutes, like a strategy call on how to get your book done and how to get it published successfully. And if you qualify to work with us, then we'll talk about what that looks like. So that, like, for us, that's the natural ascension path. And I think that's why that's worked so well as a customer acquisition channel doing the free plus shipping offer.
Okay, so let's just break this down from start to finish. Someone's like, okay, I'm all in. Like, I want to do this book. I'm ready. I get it. No one's going to tap me on the shoulder. I'm going to take advantage of the next few weeks where we're all indoors, socializing less. How long is it going to take someone to go from start to, okay, I can submit this now on Amazon. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. So our bread and butter is taking people through that process in 90 days.
Okay.
So that's about 30 minutes to an hour per day. and working through the process. So like that's our bread and butter. You can certainly take longer than that if you'd like, but like the first and most important thing is getting the rough draft done. Like that is the most important thing. That's where we see that people start to believe that they can do it. So that's the big, and whether you're bunkering down and doing that in a weekend, whether you're doing that 30 minutes a day and chipping away at it over a month, like whatever that process looks like, that's the most important starting point. But our goal is zero to published in 90 days.
And how long are these books?
Yeah, so they're anywhere between, on the lower end, about 15,000 words, sometimes lower. And then on the higher end, 40, 60, maybe even some more. So 40 to 60,000 words, maybe even a little bit more. It really depends. Like Stephen Covey, Begin With the End in Mind. Like we want to start with, why are you doing this book? And not so much like the, from a reader's perspective, but for you as a business owner, mm-hmm. like what purpose is this serving? And so for a lot of our medical practitioners, especially if they have a brick and mortar office, this is something that is either potential or new patient education. This is going to turn a higher percentage of my evals or free screens or assessments or sales calls or whatever you want to call it. It's going to convert a higher percentage of those folks or help with the onboarding, so I don't have to repeat the same thing like 500 bajillion times. I can just say, hey, read this book between now and the next time that you come in. And then I'm giving that person two or three books so that they can actively refer. And it's not hand a business card, because no one's going to do that. It's hand someone this book that you know that needs this thing. And so that's for that purpose. You know, I think we had one lady wrote her book on the plane ride home from the event that I spoke at, because it was only like 12,000 words. And she's saying, hey, I don't need a 40,000 word, like more full length book. I want people to read the whole thing mm-hmm. in 30 minutes to an hour, or listen to the audiobook on their way home from my office and back to my office. So that now all of a sudden all that patient education or that, you know, whatever the function is being fulfilled in a short amount of time. And so based on that end goal, we'll determine like where you're at in that range in terms of word count.
Yeah, and I totally joke about this because I serve entrepreneurs, and I'm like, entrepreneurs get excited in two ways. When you buy the book, they get this massive surge of dopamine, and when they finish the book, they get this massive right. surge of dopamine. So I was like, for me, longer is not necessarily better, because it is totally not what my audience is into.
100%.
All right, you're gonna just have to set the date for me, Chandler, and I will get this done for you, because everyone's listening. Here's what I'm going to say is, we have a masterclass happening on April 7th. We're offering that together to our audience. So anyone who's interested in coming to that, you can access that. It'll be in our show notes, but it's meganwalker.com/author. And Chandler and I are going to take you. Well, Chandler and I'm going to hang out, and Chandler's going to take you through his process in greater detail for those of you who are like, I'm taking this time. I'm going to make this happen. So I'm going to commit to getting this done when that cohort commits to getting their books done.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's do it. That's exciting.
Yeah. I'll tell everyone my date on the April 7th webinar.
Okay, perfect. Now let me ask you a question. What purpose does this book serve from a business perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the book is called Inconceivable Impact, and it's a launch guide for clinician entrepreneurs. So it's for my clinician audience, and it's a quick start guide to stepping into their headspace as a CEO. So for us, it's exactly what you were talking about. It's lead generation, it's a credibility mm-hmm. piece, it's for mm-hmm. when we're running live events, but it is a kickstart to many of our funnels and our lead acquisition.
Awesome. So lead acquisition probably helps. It probably helps from a referral perspective for the people that you already have attending the events, and then also from a conversion perspective. So converting more of the leads, I would imagine, to paying customers or to buying tickets to live events, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. That's exciting.
Yeah. A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge, and they were surprised that I only took four things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are four basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. Well, here's the thing I want everyone to know. So you're going to be able to have a chance to hang out with Chandler live on our masterclass that's happening on April 7th. And we'll make sure everyone in our audience can access those through our show notes as well as our online channels. But Chandler, I've got some rapid fire questions for you in this last part of the interview, because I really want to give people an opportunity to get to know a different side of you.
Let's do it.
You ready?
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. So I call these our KPIs. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our life as well. So here's my first question for you. What is the most impactful book you have ever read?
Oh, man. And I love that you use the word impactful, because it's so, I literally have a YouTube video on my channel that's the top 10 most impactful books of all time. Because I believe that's, I'm sorry, this is rapid fire and I'm giving you a long answer.
No, it's cool. You're an entrepreneur.
I believe that's the measure of a book, is what's the impact that it actually have on your life, not which is the one that you liked. So top 10, man, I got a top 10 list and now I'm going to try to remember it. Probably Extreme Ownership, I think, is what I put number one on that list, but just really challenged me as a leader. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible book, Extreme Ownership.
It's great. I listened to it driving along the coast of California.
Yeah. For the wind. Yeah. That's a great audiobook too.
It is.
By the way, speaking of audiobooks, the sound effects, the narration, it's a really good audiobook.
It's awesome. I will just segue really quickly. So my husband was kind enough to book me a convertible for my trip from LA up to San Francisco. And he's like, and I made you a playlist so you can rock out. And I listened to it for the first 20 minutes. And then I was like, you know what? If I'm really honest about what I want to be doing right now, it's listening to an audiobook. So I turned off his like rocking playlist. I put down the roof on my convertible and I did Extreme Ownership from LA to San Francisco.
And then you pulled up to a stoplight and everyone looks at you because Jocko's narrating and he's like, and then we went into Ramadi. And then in that awkward moment when you're in a convertible listening to Extreme Ownership and someone looks over and is like, what are you listening to?
I was just fully owning it. I was like, I am, this is me. This is me full out. There's no shame here at all. What's the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Morning routine, hands down. And as part of that, consistent wake up time, meditation, physical exercise. So 65 push-ups, 65 sit-ups, breakfast. I think I already said meditation, affirmations, like all that, kind of the miracle morning by Hal Elrod. That's probably the most consistent thing.
I love it. What's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
This is not so much related. Well, I guess it's not about me. It is, I guess. My brother plays in a Grammy-nominated rock and roll band called Need to Breathe. It's a pretty massive band, but not a lot of people know this. My brother, but I mean, I would be a bad brother if I didn't mention this. And I know I mentioned this at your event, but it's an awesome band called Need to Breathe.
That's awesome.
Just a random. They did 81 shows with Taylor Swift back in 2011. Like, they've been doing this for a really long time, but it's a really cool band.
That's amazing. And have they published a book yet?
Yeah, me and my brother published a book together. It was a charity project. So that's actually a big part of like what kickstarted this whole thing. It's kind of cool. It's all about 15 things our parents taught us growing up that we thought were normal, but then got out in the real world and realized no one gets taught this stuff. And it was his perspective as a musician, my perspective as a business guy on these same 15 things. And it was like kind of buy one book, save one life. So like all the proceeds still go to charity. And yeah, it's kind of a fun project. It's called Breaking Out of a Broken System.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to have to check that one out now too. What do you do for fun or play?
Oh, I snowboard, play tennis, music. So obviously the music connection with my brother, music festivals, concerts. Those are a few of the things. And then work. it's business is fun and play to me, but I try to break it up. And I'm really working on doing more of those things. So snowboarding, tennis, music festivals, beach, stuff like that.
That's awesome. I find work so fun too that I always mention it because I'm so fortunate that it's something I love this much. Yeah. Last question for you, Chandler. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, man, I think you 100% learn to become an entrepreneur. And there's, I would say probably 10 to 20% nature and the rest nurture. My dad was an entrepreneur or is an entrepreneur. He runs a small construction company. My mom's a real estate agent, which is pretty dang close to being an entrepreneur. I think you're made, and it's a byproduct of the influences and the people that you have around you.
I love it. Chandler, you have so much to offer. And you mentioned earlier a book outline generator. Where can we send people to be able to access that? And we'll throw it in our show notes.
Yeah, so we can, there's not really like a super quick link, but we can throw it in the show notes. Or if you Google book outline template generator, it will come up as the first result. It's on the self-publishing school website. And that's like kind of the snazzy little, just little generator. And then it spits out a Google Doc. And then for anyone writing a book, that is a super valuable resource because you literally just plug and play, type into the Google Doc.
Fantastic. We will hook everyone up in our show notes, and we will also be hanging out again on April 7th as we take people deeper into how to get that book written. Chandler, thank you so much for being here.
Megan, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, hey, bosses. If that interview resonated with you, I would love your feedback over on Apple Podcasts. Every single review, every comment you leave makes a huge difference in terms of the Entrepology Podcast being able to reach more people, help more people, and pull more individuals into our vector and vertical of leadership that we are using to try to change the world. Now, if you want to discuss a little bit more about today's topic or other topics that affect us as leaders and go-getters in this world, come on over and hang out with me in the Entrepology Collective. In this Facebook group, we have women from around the world dedicated to living a life of purpose, a healthy life, an intentional life as we cruise through and engage in our missions here on planet Earth. I would love for you to join us. I'm excited about what you do. Until we meet again next week, go build something amazing.